This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And now, Chapter 2 in the ongoing saga of patronage and pay to play in the state's probation department. In May, the Boston Globe Spotlight team uncovered the story of the department commissioner, John O'Brien, who'd allegedly hired at least 250 friends, relatives, and financial backers of powerful Massachusetts politicians to work in the probation department. O'Brien was suspended, and as a state investigation was launched in the wake of the Globe's first stories. Now, the Globe has uncovered evidence of even deeper problems in the agency, problems that call into question the fundamental effectiveness of this key public safety department. This morning, Governor Deval Patrick weighed in.
I've been concerned about probation for a long, long time because it is, in my experience, if not the least, one of the least accountable agencies in state government. I have personally asked for information about the doings over there, and have gotten no response.
Which maybe now, after reading the Globe, comes as no surprise, because as the Globe reports, the probation department's annual statistical report amounts to one single page. That's for an agency that claims to oversee a probation population of some 250,000 people. Here with more is Globe Spotlight team reporter Marcella Bombardieri. Marcella, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
Okay, so how is it that, first of all, as Governor Deval Patrick alluded to, that you can get no response from such a huge department? What does this tell us about the way the probation department was run?
Well, it was deeply, deeply mismanaged. I think a lot of us are a little bit stunned to find in 2010 in Massachusetts that an agency could function with such, clearly troubling policies and lack of information. And, as we have shown in our reporting, it has been protected by the legislature for many years, and it has been a haven for hiring of legislators, family members, and friends, and financial backers. And so basically it has been allowed to work without anyone demanding to know whether it was succeeding at what it was doing.
Okay, so let's dig into some of the claims that the probation department was making and that you guys uncovered. One of them is that the probation department claimed that each officer was seeing more than 167 probationers each, and this is hugely out of sync with national averages.
Absolutely. Our digging has shown that each officer is actually handling about 40 of what would be considered standard cases, the cases that really take up their time. That is actually below the national average of 50, or I'm sorry, it's actually below the recommended 50 per officer, and way below the average of about 100 per officer that is the reality in most other states.
Mm-hmm. And it's because of this sense that every officer was overburdened with all of these probationees that they were overlooking that the department's budget was allowed to grow and grow. The legislature said okay to this.
Exactly, yes. Their budget grew by 163% over 10 years, according to some research by the Boston Foundation, while other public safety agencies grew, maybe 20% in that decade. They've really been claiming to be so overburdened. And the thing is that they are in some pockets, because another problem that we found is that the resources are they're not distributed where they're needed. So they're very sleepy courts that have a lot of probation officers and very busy courts that have few.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I want to get to that in a minute because you have two really good examples. But before that, you also uncovered this thing, this issue about the community correction centers, which were supposed to be a marquee program in the probation department. Tell us a little bit about what you found there.
Right. Well, this was, as some probation officers have said, this was Jack O'Brien's baby. He was one of the founders of this program. He led it before he became commissioner of probation. And there are currently 25 of these centers all around the state. It's a $20 million program. And for many, many years, they never looked at whether these centers were doing what they were designed to do. And they're programs where probationers will go every day for drug testing, drug education, GED classes, that kind of thing. And the census, the population of people in these programs has been going down because the judges who send them there, the sheriffs who send them there, the defense attorneys who could recommend people for the program were saying, we don't like it, it's not working, it's actually counterproductive. And meanwhile, the agency just, never for many years even looked at whether it was keeping these people out of trouble.
Mm, and in fact, you quote that there's very little data on how effective it was, and there's only one study that you could dig up from 8 years ago that showed that the community center people who went there were actually slightly more likely to reoffend.
Exactly. And we talked to experts who were just shocked that it that the results were so poor and that it didn't seem to spark any self-examination. And another 8 years went by before now they're doing another study, but it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned earlier about how certain district courts seem to be very, very, very busy in the probation department, even though they were some of the smaller ones. Tell us the story of Belchertown, the East Hampton District Court.
Right. Well, when Commissioner O'Brien became commissioner, there were two probation officers in this small town court, and now there are 11. It looks like there's been an explosion of crime there, but as we know, there hasn't been. There's some evidence that they are overstating their workload, that they're sort of somehow just inflating the number of cases they have. They claim in this community of 15,000 people that there are, 900 offenders with a certain type of kind of minor criminal cases. And it's probably not coincidental that this is the district of one of the most powerful legislators, Thomas Petrolatti, mm-hmm. who is, one of the top people in the House leadership. And, he's known as being a central figure in getting jobs in the court system. And it so happens that the husband of his chief aide, one of his former aides, and a number of his financial backers all work in this court.
Well, last issue that I want to touch upon with you, Marcella, is it's the one that really opened my eyes the most when I read your report yesterday, that in 1998, when Jack O'Brien first arrived as commissioner of the Department of Probation, the department was supervising some 61,000 people. 10 years later, that population had reached 257,000 people, and residents in Massachusetts got the sense that the state was being awash in a crime wave. But the truth is that the rate of crime was pretty flat across those 10 years. So what's been the impact of what you guys at the Globe Spotlight team are calling this overinflated reporting of the probation department's responsibility and how many people are in the system?
Right. Well, they're using these exaggerated figures to justify their budget and their request for more and more money. And, there were legislators speaking on the floor saying, there are people lining up in the hallways of these probation offices. They're so busy. And again, some of them are because the resources aren't distributed. But there's double counting. There's counting of claims that were considered so minor by previous administrations that they didn't even include them. And there's just sort of other mathematical tricks that even the acting commissioner who's running the agency now is still trying to figure out how many people there really are.
Let me ask you about that as my last question for you today. Ronald Corbett, he's the acting commissioner. He's a very well-respected figure in probation circles, both here in Massachusetts and nationally. Do you get a sense that he's making any headway in really uncovering what's really been going on at the department and instituting any changes?
Well, I think so. My guess is that it probably takes a while to figure out what is going on in an agency that that is so troubled and where the data is either lacking or misleading. So I think he's actually studying quite a number of things. I think he has more or less figured out that there are something like 92,000 people on probation instead of 260,000. So he's figured some things out. He's studying a lot of things. There is this. Special independent counsel who is investigating and looking at possible criminal wrongdoing and looking very closely at the hiring and promotion practices.
So maybe changes on the way. Marcella Bombardieri, reporter with the Boston Globe Spotlight team, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Well, on a good note, 20 years ago today, President George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act, the first legal declaration of equality for people with disabilities. To celebrate the occasion, hundreds gathered on the corner of Tremont and Boylston Streets this afternoon and marched around Boston Common. Governor Deval Patrick made an unexpected appearance.
This is a civil rights issue. It's a civil rights issue, and we all have a stake in it.
Boston has had a particularly hard time coming into compliance with the ADA thanks to our abundance of very old buildings. Wheelchair-bound public radio personality John Hockenberry channeled the frustrations of many as he addressed the crowd today.
How many of you pass by every single day a public retail establishment that has
couple of steps.
How many have just one step? How many of those places were in business 20 years ago? Well, look at that step real closely, folks. Over time, that step begins to talk. It begins to look as offensive and outrageous as that whites-only, blacks-only sign.
Another one of today's celebration's featured speakers was comedian Jonathan Katz. He suffers from multiple sclerosis. We talked to him on Friday about getting around Newton on his scooter, among other topics, and we found it was both a pretty hilarious and thought-provoking conversation, one very apt for this 20th anniversary of the ADA. So if you missed it, check it out at our website, wbur.org/Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's much more when we come back. This is Radio Boston.